So we're beginning chapter 15, and we're going to focus on just one verse today, and that's the first verse of chapter 15. Because in the first six verses of this chapter, what we have are Christian one another's. And the first one is to forbear. Forbearance, which is a cousin to forgiveness, is a distinctly Christian virtue. A synonym to it could be tolerance, but tolerance has been misused in today's culture. But there's more to it than just tolerance, by the way. To forbear is more than just tolerance. When we think of tolerance, you think of you're just tolerating something. You're just going to endure it while somebody else does something that just grinds you the wrong way, or something like that. And that can be tolerance, something that you don't agree with. But forbearance goes beyond that. We then, chapter 15, verse 1, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, there are two kinds of people in this verse, aren't there? There are the strong and there are the weak. Let's talk about them for a moment. The strong is the word dunatoi. It is a word that means to be able. It speaks of one who has the liberty of which was spoken of in chapter 14. The strong is a lake person. They enjoy the freedom, the liberty in Christ. And I'll tell you why later on. I think there's a distinct reason why a strong person has so much liberty in Christ. But the word dunatoi means has to do with ability. It has to do with power. It has to do with might. These are ways that this word is translated. It is a person who has possibility. They can do things. It is possible for them to do things. It is possible for them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is possible for them to love their neighbor as themselves, as themselves. But when we talk about the strong, we're talking about the mature in Christ, one who is mature in Christ. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5 and verse 14 speaks of what it means to be strong. Strength in Christ is spiritual maturity. It is a person who has spiritual discernment of what pleases God and what does not please God. Discernment, not a list of rules, but spiritual discernment. There's a big difference there. You see, the weak need the rules. The weak need the rules that says this pleases God, this doesn't. The spiritually mature have a developed sense of discernment that say this pleases God and this does not. They don't need the list of rules. The strong are strong because they are vigorously exercised in habitual use of the scriptures. They have a focused walk with God. They are strong or strong because they have a developed habit of pleasing God in all aspects of life. There's no dichotomy in their lives. And they do that not by rules, but by relationship with God. In other words, to use scriptural language, they are led by the Spirit. Why? Because they are walking in the Spirit. And that has everything to do with one's relationship with God. As you are led by the Spirit, because you are walking in the Spirit, you don't need the rules. Because you are strong. Your life is defined by the very fact that day in and day out, moment by moment, hour by hour, you are walking with God. That's a strong person. That is a person who enjoys the liberty that is ours in Jesus Christ. And the strong are those who have walked with God deeply, passionately, faithfully. There is an element of time there. However, we need to be very careful. You may be in Christ, but just because you're in Christ and just because you've been in Christ for 30 or 40 years does not necessarily mean that you are strong. And that's particularly something that the writer of Hebrews is addressing in chapter 5 at the end of chapter 5. Because there is an assumption there that one who has been walking with God and in the progressive sanctification of becoming more and more like Christ, they ought to be moving towards the place where you can say to someone else, follow me as I follow Christ. And yet the writer of Hebrews says to them, You haven't reached that point yet. You've been walking with Christ for a while, but you're still babes. You still need milk. You can't handle a steak. For the strong who have been deeply, passionately, and faithfully walking with God, it is for the strong for whom God is the point. It is the strong who can say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The strong can say that. Not only say it, but it actually exudes from their life. See, anybody can say the words, can't they? But that's something that John deals with in the first couple of chapters of his letter. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Why? Because they are not distracted by the sordid pleasures and powers of the world. They enjoy their liberty in Christ. Let me say this. This is the best definition that I can give you for one who is strong. The strong Christian is the one who is completely satisfied in God. A strong Christian is satisfied in God. Because God is the point. And therefore, I am not distracted by whatever the fallen creation has to throw at me, whether pleasurable or adversarial. The strong Christian is satisfied in God. And therefore, in that liberty, the strong Christian is able to love God and love their neighbor. Who are the weak? Because Paul says in Romans 15:1, we then who are strong, let me caution you. Just because you are here this morning, do not assume that you are among the strong. Just because you've been in Christ for 30, 40 years, don't assume that you are among the strong. Who are the weak? The weak is the opposite of the strong. Dunatoi, able, powerful, mighty, possible. The weak are those who are not able. They lack ability. Why is it that the weak lack ability? Because, one, they are new in the faith, or two, because they have neglected the disciplines of the faith, primarily the habits of regeneration, to walk humbly with your God, to draw near to God, to abide in Christ, to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit, to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Those disciplines have been neglected, and the Christian, the believer, remains weak. So what is it about the weak? Well, looking back, if you were to look back at Hebrews chapter 5, the weak is one who is unskilled in the word of righteousness. In other words, the weak believer is the one who is not vigorously exercised in habitual use of God's word. There's a casual approach there. And therefore, the weak person is undiscerning. What does undiscerning look like? Well, the weak Christian is the Christian who says, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. Just tell me what the Bible says I have to do. That's a weak Christian. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. A weak Christian thinks in terms of, okay, this is what a Christian is supposed to do, and this is what a Christian is not supposed to do. That's a weak Christian. Because there's no developed discernment there. Where does that discernment come from? It comes from a deep, passionate, faithful walk with God. And when that walk is in place, then the discernment develops. And because you know God and you love God, you know what pleases Him and you know what does not. And you don't need that list. But the weak Christian does. Because there is still the propensity to be distracted by sinful habits. I think we need to make it very clear that just following rules doesn't foster discernment or maturity, does it? We raise our kids, and when our kids are young, they're still developing these abilities. Young children aren't known for their discernment, are they? They're not. I know, because I've raised six of them. Some of them are still young. The older ones have much greater liberty. We allow them to exercise their discernment. The younger ones, mom and dad still have to tell them, no, can't do that. Do you see, they need the rules because they haven't developed the discernment yet. And so it is with Christians. And so the Christian who walks through his life just simply saying, just tell me what to do. Tell me what the Bible says I'm supposed to do. You know, where's the discernment there? Every Christian ought to be on the road to developing that kind of spiritual discernment. Yes, it comes from the Word of God, but it comes from a deep, passionate, faithful walk with God too. Because we are led by the Spirit, and that discernment is necessary. And so the weak person still has that propensity to dichotomize their lives. Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but there's this area of my life over here that I really don't find any relation between that and Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you find absolutely no relationship between your work Monday to Friday and your relationship with Jesus Christ, can you call yourself a strong Christian? Because it is Christ, because Christ is not only your Creator, He is your Redeemer, He is your Lord. What part of your life does Christ not apply? That's a weak Christian. And therefore, the weak Christian will have scruples. The weak Christian will have failings. That doesn't mean strong Christians don't have failings. Don't take me wrong on that. I'm not saying strong Christians are perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect Christian. Because we are all in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And the only time where I will be perfectly like Jesus Christ is when I am looking at Him face to face. And you're going to be there with me too, if you are indeed in Christ. If you have surrendered yourself to Him in faith. But up until that point, God is performing the work in us to be led by His Spirit, to become more like Christ, to glorify God. And all Christians are at different mile points, mile markers on that road. And those who have been walking with God deeply, passionately, and faithfully, you will have a maturity and a discernment to where those who are newer or have been neglectful in the faith, they will not have that discernment. And Romans 15:1 says, we who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of the weak. This is all about forbearance and forgiveness. One whose walk of faith is but a set of rules remains a weak Christian. And a weak Christian, and here's a warning this morning, because I said don't assume that you're in the strong category just because you've been a Christian for X amount of years. A weak Christian may think himself strong because he does all the things he's supposed to do and doesn't do all the things he's not supposed to do. That doesn't make a weak or a strong Christian. And weak Christians who are weak long term become Christians who are critical and resentful. And this becomes a challenge then. That's the challenge of Hebrews chapter 5, and it goes right along with Romans chapter 15. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. So let's talk now for a few minutes about the responsibilities of the strong. We then who are strong ought to bear. Three key words, ought to bear. We who are strong ought to bear. The first thing you need to do this morning, weak, strong. What defines weak? What defines strong? Can you say that you have a developed discernment because you have walked with God deeply, passionately, and faithfully, and you are indeed led by the Spirit, and you are His day in and day out, moment by moment, and you have that developed discernment of what pleases God and what doesn't, and you don't need the rules of the channel, you enjoy the liberty of the lake? Can you say that? Or are you on the weaker side where you are constantly saying, just tell me what a Christian is supposed to do? Then if you are on the weaker side, you need to grow. And that growth only comes through a deep, passionate, personal pursuit of God. Through His Word and His Spirit. And here are the responsibilities of the strong then. We who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. The word ought is a word that comes from the idea of owing money. It is what is due. You are bound by duty. In other words, this is not an option. This is not a suggestion. Paul is not saying, we then who are strong, I suggest that you bear with the scruples of the weak. That's not what he's saying. You know what's funny? Kathy Rohde is our librarian, and in the library there are all the masters from messages from months and weeks past, and she found this nifty little shoebox thing that the CDs fit into perfectly. And I came into the office, I think I came back from lunch one day, and she was in the library working, and she had all those CDs neatly packed into that, and she turned it around, and on the front of it was still the label Suggestions. As we exposit the Word of God this morning, and the Apostle Paul teaches us, he says, we who are strong ought to bear. It's not a suggestion. We are duty bound. Now again, do you consider yourself a strong Christian? If you are, you are called to bear with the scruples of the weak. If you are weak, we need to talk about that some more a little bit later on. But the word ought is speaking of what is due. And what is it that we are bound to do? We are to bear with the scruples of the weak. In other words, we're dealing with an area in which God is still working in this person's life. Let me give you the English Standard Version translation, which I think is really good in bringing out the force of what the apostle is saying. If you have an English Standard Version, you already have it in front of you. But the English Standard Version says, we have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. An obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. Now, this word bear, this is what it gets down to. What does it mean to bear? To forbear. Comes right along with forgiveness. It means to carry, to endure, to provide for, to support, to tolerate, to endure patiently. All of those are involved in this word bear or forbear. In other words, you're not just enduring it. You're not just enduring the failings of others. You are providing remedy. If you are strong, you have the capacity to be able to help support them and pick them up and carry them along. Because it is a failing. And then we who are strong are duty bound. We have an obligation to bear, to forbear, to help support, to carry, to provide support for the failings of the weak. The apostle said in 6:2, Galatians 6:2, we who are spiritual, those who are spiritual restore the one who has been overtaken by a fault. It's the process of restoration. In other words, to forbear is the opposite of contending with and condemning a person for their failings or for their weakness. I remember when I was a teenager, people would wear buttons. Some people still wear buttons today. My wife wore a button that said, buttons are stupid. But there's one of them in particular that I remember. It said, PBPGIF, WMY, please be patient. What? God isn't finished with me yet. How true that is. I remember reading one particular commentator. He was an expositor, and he was saying he was a grandparent. He went to visit his grandchildren, and his grandchildren had come across a nest that had just, you know, recently the mother had left the nest, and the kids didn't see her come back. And so they researched these eggs and the birds that had laid the eggs, and they put it under a heat lamp, and they were taking care of these eggs. And one of the little granddaughters wrote a little note and put it up against the nest. It said, I'm happening. I'm happening. What is it? It's that baby is developing. Every one of us is in a developmental stage in our Christian walk. And we're all at different stages. And there needs to be forbearance. If there is anything in the church at all, there needs to be forbearance. Because after all, what is the opposite of forbearance? Well, there's a lot of words that could fit into that, isn't there? But if you're not willing to forbear, essentially what you're saying is, I don't like what you're doing and I'm not going to tolerate it. And we're not talking about outright sin, something that is in direct opposition to the principles and precepts of the Word of God. It's just, you're doing something some way, it's not the way I would do it, and I don't like it, and I'm not going to put up with it. You need to be doing it the way I would be doing it. Folks, that's not Christian. That's not Christ-like. It doesn't belong in the church. That's why Paul writes this. The scruples, then, the scruples of the weak are error in the person arising from weakness of mind and discernment. It's an area where God is still working in that person. And so that is one of the responsibilities of the strong. We are to bear with the scruples of the weak. Here's the second responsibility of the strong. What does it say in the text? We who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. That is the responsibility of the strong, not to please ourselves. Those who assume they are strong may actually be weak. Because if a person who thinks he's strong becomes critical and resentful, you are manifesting weakness. This is what the apostle is dealing with. Okay. We are not to please ourselves. To not please ourselves, let's put that in a positive phrase, means to put your own rights behind another's Godward movement. Now, who is our supreme example for this? Is it not the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what the apostle talks about in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, what is he saying there? The second person of the Trinity is, in fact, infinite sovereign creator. Did not consider it something to be grasped. He didn't have to hang. He was willing to let it be put on the sidelines for a while. What is it? His glory and his majesty. He was willing to put that aside for a moment so he could come to us ultimately for our Godward movement, so that we could be reconciled to God for our redemption. And so the mind of Christ means to deny yourself something that is legitimately yours. Glory legitimately belongs to Jesus Christ, and he was willing to set it aside to invest in you. How's that for forbearance? This is what the apostle is referring to here. It is in this sense that the Apostle Paul said that I have become all things to all people. It's in this sense. I am willing to set aside the things that are rightfully mine so that I can invest in your Godward movement. Become all things to all people. And he then is the one who said, follow me as I follow Christ. See, again, we're following Christ, and that's the point here. Becoming like Christ, following him. Who, let me quote F.F. Bruce here. Who was more free from taboos and inhibitions than Christ? And yet, who was more careful to bear with the weaknesses of others? That's good, isn't it? That's exactly what the apostle is teaching us in Romans 15:1. Not to please ourselves. Bear with the scruples of the weak. We have an obligation to invest in the failings of the weak. What is that obligation? It's forbearance. It's forgiveness. Provide support. Pick them up. Carry them. Don't just tolerate. Invest. I think in this, there's no specific command, there's no specific imperative in here, but as we've read through chapter 14 and 15, it becomes very clear that there's an implied responsibility of the weak. If the strong are going to invest in the weak, there is not the assumption that the weak will always remain weak. The assumption is that if the strong are able to invest, forbear and forgive and invest in the weak, then the weak are assumed to be on a path towards what? Maturity. Become strong. Become strong. Have you been in Christ for 40 years or 30 years or 25 years? And can you say that you have that developed discernment from walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit? Do you have that developed habitual use of being in the Scriptures and exercising yourself in the Scriptures and the discernment that comes from that? The responsibility of the weak is to become strong. So if the things of the Christian discipline are still rules to you. Why do you do this? Well, because that's what Christians are supposed to do. Because the Bible says I'm supposed to do that. Let me put a few specifics in that. If you say, why do you go to church, pray, read the Bible, serve, give? If those are just nothing but rules to you, you do them because, well, that's what the Bible says I'm supposed to do. Or that's what Christians are supposed to do. If that's why you do those things, you are weak. You're weak. The weak need to grow strong. You need to grow in your deep, passionate pursuit of God so that you indeed will be led by the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. How do you become strong? Well, I mentioned the habits of regeneration. It's a matter of drawing near to God. It's a matter of abiding in Christ. It's a matter of walking in the Spirit. It's a matter of letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And again, these aren't just disciplines. Okay, I'm supposed to do this because that's what a Christian's supposed to do. No, you do it because your Creator, Redeemer, invested Himself in you. And He loves you and He created you for Himself. And your ultimate goal, your ultimate good is Himself. And therefore, because He redeemed you and reconciled you, you are in relationship with Him to draw near to Him. It is in that relationship that you become strong. And the stronger you become in that relationship, you don't need all the rules of just tell me what I'm supposed to do. Folks, I've seen too many Christians in that category. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. We need discernment. But it is those who have the discernment that the apostle is challenging here, we have an obligation to bear with the scruples of the weak. It is the strong who need to come and take the weak by the hand and walk with them in a Godward direction, in a Christ-like direction. And it's going to require forbearance. It's going to require forgiveness because there are going to be mistakes. Look around you. Look at the people in your life. Do you allow people to make mistakes? Is it okay for people to make mistakes and allow them to learn from them? Very, very important. It is distinctly Christian to be able to forbear and to forgive. So as you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, the Word through His Spirit is molding your attitudes, your perspectives, your motives, your responses. You are becoming renewed by the spirit of your mind, as the apostle says in Ephesians. And as Peter says, you desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow by it. And you develop a discernment so you don't need the rules. And as you go along in Christ, the channel becomes wider and wider and wider. And pretty soon you'll find yourself as a lake Christian instead of being restricted to the channel. But listen, if you've been in that channel for 25, 30, 40 years, chances are you've become resentful and critical of other believers. Then that's not Christ-like. And you need to become strong. You need to develop that discernment. The key command in Scripture, I think, we find in the Old Testament, and that is just simply to walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God and don't allow distractions. Don't allow interruptions to that walk. If you think you're too busy to walk with God, I guarantee you, you're weak. You need to grow strong. Because when it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, and time is no more, what do you have? You have God. What else is there? The weak need to become strong, and the strong need to forbear and forgive the scruples of the weak. The strong Christian is the one who is most satisfied in God. And the weak need to get there. What a powerful truth. But it requires forgiveness and forbearance for the weak to get to the point where they become most satisfied in God, where the things that could distract them are meaningless. They mean nothing. As the psalmist said, whom have I in heaven but you? That's what's ours. So in that light, as the apostle said in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness and forbearance are distinctly Christian virtues. They belong in the body of Christ. They belong in the heart and mind of the believer. Why? Because Christ has forgiven you. Christ has been forbearing of your weakness and still is. He comes alongside you to walk with you.